And it's called One Third Unknown. And really we could say it's probably more unknown than that, because we don't really understand all there is to know about the Father. We don't understand all there is to know about the Son, and we definitely don't understand the Holy Spirit like we should. But this is going to be a series on the Holy Spirit, and we're going to be talking about the work of the Holy Spirit to us as believers. I'm going to be offering a Tuesday night study in May sometime. We're going to start a seven basic study on, I guess it's the first week of April. It's a six-week study, and then immediately after that, we'll begin the Holy Spirit study. We're going to be talking about the miraculous part of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to be dealing with things about miraculous manifestations and healing and you know, all of those kind of things. The Pentecost, what happened on Pentecost, and how that relates to us today. We're going to be dealing with all of those kind of things. But in this series that we're doing, I want to talk about the Holy Spirit as it relates to you as a believer in your everyday life. Now, I was raised in a background, and here's the problem that we've had in the body of Christ. I was raised in a background where we heard very little about the Holy Spirit. I mean, it was, we would recite the Apostles' Creed. How many of you recited the Apostles' Creed in the church you was raised in? Anybody? Very few. I believe in God, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the dead, and life everlasting. Amen. And that's about all I knew about the Holy Spirit. And when I went among the full gospel people, boy, it was all about the Holy Spirit. And it was all about, you know, it was a whole new world, a whole nother level. And then I began to see excess, things that people said that they did that were inspired by the Holy Spirit that caused more confusion than it did edification. So I think we've had a natural, you know, people hear about those crazy people that the Holy Spirit makes them do this. I want to tell you something about the Holy Spirit. He's a gentleman. The Holy Spirit makes you do nothing. You never lose control under the influence of the Holy Spirit. If you do, it's not the Holy Spirit. And you know, and I want to say this. The Holy Spirit doesn't shout. The Holy Spirit doesn't shake. Now, I know people who encounter the Holy Spirit who shout for joy. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's not the Holy Spirit shouting. It's the person shouting. My great-grandpa, his name was Francis Marion Insel. In Ash Flat, they're not Insel, they're Insel. And he was an old-time Methodist. And he would go to all of the revivals. He'd go to the Methodist revival. He'd go to the Assembly of God revival. He'd go to the Church of Christ revival. And if he felt the Holy Spirit, he'd roll his head back and just laugh and shout. And I think he might have cut a little rug or something. And he was, you know, he was an old-time Methodist and back in the day. But you know what? The Holy Spirit didn't make him do that. And this is something I want you to understand about the Holy Spirit. He doesn't make you do anything. And when we are influenced by the Holy Spirit, we can choose to do certain things because it's always under your control. You can yield to the Holy Spirit. You can quench the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is not like a lion. He's more like a dove. In fact, that's the picture that we see of the Holy Spirit. He's very gentle. Is he powerful? Oh yeah, you don't understand how powerful he is. But he's not offensive. He's really not. And so, as we study the Holy Spirit, I want to present him to you so that he can become your friend. Now, Jesus is Lord, the Father God is Lord, but let me tell you, the Holy Spirit's Lord also. And we've kind of, you know, we exalt him to this level up here that, you know, he's our God and he's our Lord and that's proper. But listen, he also wants to be our friend. He wants to commune with us on a daily basis. In fact, he really wants to have an intimate relationship with us. And you don't have to be afraid of that. This is one of the things that I want to get, because I've been in services where I thought, oh my gosh, what is this? I mean, I've heard things and seen things that are just outrageous. But you know what? Everything that you see in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit can do. And we'll get into this in a minute, but the Holy Spirit doesn't do anything from outside the scope of the Word of God. So as we study the Word of God, we'll begin to understand how the Holy Spirit operates. And we can operate within that framework of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, and not be afraid that we're going to get into wildfire or something like that. The Holy Spirit is not about wildfire. I want to encourage you the next few weeks, and I know that a lot of you are reading the Bible through this year, but in the next few weeks to read the book of Acts, because the Holy Spirit came into the earth, and he's always been here, but he came into prominence beginning the day of Pentecost. That's the day that the church was born. See, where is God the Father? He's seated in heaven. Where is Jesus Christ? He's seated at the right hand of God. Who is it that we're dealing with here in the earth today? It's the Holy Spirit. Now you say, well, what about Jesus? Well, the Holy Spirit shows us Jesus. They work together. There's a perfect unity and harmony among the Godhead. There's no competition. There's no egos. They just work together. And they're, you know, they're bringing forth the plan of God in the earth. So it's okay to say, Father, I love you. It's okay to say, Jesus, I love you. I bow my heart before you. Holy Spirit, I love you. It's okay. It's proper, because you're dealing with the same God. God manifests three ways in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So it's important that we understand that. So if you're communicating with the Holy Spirit, you're also communicating with God the Father and God the Son. But what we're dealing with in the earth today more than anything else is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ. He is the administrator in the church. Now, Jesus is the head of the church, but the active agent of working within the church world is the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, whether you realized it or not, the Holy Spirit is here this morning. The Holy Spirit was present during our worship. Some of you sensed the presence of the Holy Spirit as you worshiped in this place today. You expressed your heart as you reached out to the Lord in worship. That's the Holy Spirit. And even right now, as I'm talking, the Holy Spirit is present here today as we're preaching the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is present in the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. And see, I know this, that the Holy Spirit is going to say things to you today that you need to hear. You're going to think that I'm the smartest guy in the world, that I've been standing outside your window listening to your secrets. But I promise you, I have not. I'm not a peeping Tom. I don't do that. But one thing that I do trust is that I trust the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart when you come. I trust that. I believe that, because I know that's what he does. And the only thing I ask you to do is listen to him. Listen to him. He'll say things to you that I don't say. I may just trigger something in your heart, and the Holy Spirit just takes over and starts speaking to you. And that's okay. That's cool. That's what we want to happen. But as we read the book of Acts, we begin to see more than any other place from that point forward where it talks about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the early church. One of the first things that happens is it talks about lying to the Holy Spirit with Ananias and Sapphira. And then it talks about the Holy Spirit bearing witness, or the Holy Spirit resisting, or the Holy Spirit wooing. So all through the book of Acts, and I challenge you, as you read the book of Acts, look for those passages, because the Holy Spirit is ever present in the working of those early apostles. See, what happened to them on the day of Pentecost, see, they were already saved. They already had the Holy Spirit living in their spirit. They were born again. They were born of the Spirit of God. But what happened on Pentecost is the anointing of the Holy Spirit that came on them to preach the gospel, and the Holy Spirit used them in a mighty way. And I believe today that there's no, we say early church, but it's the same church today. There is no early church, middle church, late church. It's just the church. You know a neat thing? I belong to the same church that the Apostle Paul belonged to. You mean there's a believers community church back then? Nope. I'm not talking about believers community church. I'm talking about the universal body of Christ. It spans not only the time that we live in today, it goes all the way back to the day of Pentecost when the church was born. See, and it will go all the way through eternity as the body of Christ is gathered to the Lord and where we'll ever be with the Lord. It's a big church, and we're members of it. You know, you're a member of the same church that the First Baptist Christians are, and the Compass Christians are, and the Assembly of God Christians are, and the Catholic Christians are. We're all members of the same church. And that's why we shouldn't fight with each other. That's why we shouldn't fuss with each other. You know, if somebody gets saved in our church here and they choose to join another church, we shouldn't get mad at that. They're part of the church. God will, there'll be people that get saved at other places that'll wind up here. But we're all members of the same church. But the Holy Spirit is the one that is orchestrating the ministry of the New Testament church. Now, I want to say this to you, and this is what we're going to talk about today. I wish I had time to run through all of these scriptures about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the early church. But I want to say this today. See, you can hear God's voice. You can hear God's voice. And I just want to tell you, you already do. Sometimes you just don't recognize it. You already do. You just don't recognize it sometimes. Listen to John chapter 10. This is verse 1. This is Jesus talking. Verily, truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. Who is the shepherd of the sheep? Jesus. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. I want to ask you a question. Does God speak today? See, some people say, well, God don't speak today. He's already spoken through the word. God speaks today. And that voice is the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's the heart of Jesus comes through the voice of the Holy Spirit. The heart of the Father God comes through the voice of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit takes that which is in the spiritual realms and brings it into the natural physical realm. That's how Jesus was born. He was born of the Spirit. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit in Mary's womb. When she received the Word, the Holy Spirit quickened and brought the spiritual seed of the Word of God, it brought it into physical manifestation in her womb, and Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us, or the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It was a work of the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that was present in resurrection that raised Jesus from the dead, from the spiritual to the natural. That's one of the things that the Holy Spirit, He took the Word of God in Genesis, let there be light, and brought it from the spiritual into the natural. That's one of the things that the Holy Spirit does. And he brings things to us. See, we can hear God's voice. I'm happy. Okay. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his sheep by name and leads them out. Sounds like intimacy to me. Doesn't it you? When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. See, it's time for the Holy Spirit to be for us to quit treating him as a stranger. We need a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We need a relationship where we listen for his voice, where we turn our hearts toward him and we hear his voice. Because he is like the... See, it's talking about Jesus, but when we're talking about Jesus, we're talking about the Holy Spirit too. They all work together. And it's the Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts. We're going to talk about what the Holy Spirit says to us. See, you can hear God's voice. It goes on to say in verse 14, Jesus, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. We don't have to be afraid of hearing God's voice. We don't have to be afraid of hearing the voice of the Spirit of God, because he is speaking to us. He wants a personal, intimate relationship with us. So what will the Spirit reveal to us? And I'm going to give you some things here today. I'm going to give you five things. And this one is the most important. This is number one. If you don't get this one right, you'd be easily deceived. He reveals the Word to us. Again, I say unto you, church, this is the reason that we have you in your Bibles this year. I know some of you have been resistant. Some of you, well, I need to read my Bible. I don't need to read my Bible. And you don't read your Bible. Read your Bible. It needs to become a daily habit in your life. Reading the Scripture through will help you. You know why? Because it gives the Holy Spirit something to reveal to you. Listen, if there's no Word in your heart, the Holy Spirit has nothing to say to you. Because the number one thing that the Holy Spirit reveals is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. See, here's where people get in trouble with the Holy Spirit sometimes. See, we have some people that are all Word and no Spirit. We become legalistic when we do that. Then we have some people who are all Spirit and no Word. We become goofy when we do that. Okay? I've seen both. Neither one is very good. But what happens when we have the Spirit and the Word? We become balanced. We become relevant. We become powerful. We become like Jesus. We become the body of Christ, like we're supposed to be. I want to read John 14:26. This is Jesus talking. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Now, let me ask you a question. Was Jesus God? Who wrote the Old Testament? Jesus did. Now, we didn't call him Jesus then, but he is the Word. In the Old Testament, he is the Word. Who inspired it? The Holy Spirit, Jesus, God inspired it. And you know what he says? He said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And one of the great things that he's going to do, he's going to remind you of the things that I've said unto you. When you read your Bible, I'm thinking in particular the New Testament. We hear the words of Jesus. He says, the Holy Spirit will remind you of the things that I have said to you. See, there are times in your life that you face stuff. We face trials. We face tests. We face disappointment. We face decisions that need to be made. There's times that we need wisdom in our life. You know, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. In the armor of God, there's one thing called the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And when I am in a time of trial, and I'm, you know, it's come in on me like a flood, It just comes in like a flood. I mean, it attacks your emotions. It overwhelms your senses. And you think, oh my goodness. You know, the Old Testament says that the Spirit of God will raise a standard against that. You know what that standard is? It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. He'll speak the Word of God. And this is in the armor of God. This is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's the quickened Word of God. It's the Word of God that's made alive in your heart. But listen, if there's no Word in there, there's nothing for the Spirit to say to you. He can't bring to your memory what Jesus said if you don't know what Jesus said. You know what makes Christians anemic? They're not in the Word. The Word's not in them. They're living totally by their senses. They're totally carnal because they're not doing the things to become the spiritual man. And this is what the Holy Spirit does in us. He reveals the Word to us. The second thing that the Holy Spirit reveals to us is Jesus. Is Jesus. That's his job. You know what Jesus said when he was talking to his disciples? They said to him, Lord, show us the Father. Jesus said, you know what? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know what the Holy Spirit does? He reveals Jesus to us. That's who we need to see, is Jesus. If we can see Jesus, we can see the heart of the Father. If you want a true picture of what God looks like, look at Jesus Christ. Now, people think, well, he's just all lovey-dovey and all. No, there were times that Jesus confronted sin. He confronted religious people. Let me tell you, there's times that the Holy Spirit will confront your heart. We need that. You know, a good friend. I get aggravated. So I read Facebook sometimes, and sometimes I just want to throw my computer against the wall. Somebody will get on there and say, I just ran my husband off and, I'm leaving him. And all their friends are, well, good for you. He's a bum anyway. And I'm thinking, that's not a friend. That is not a friend. Sometimes a friend will say, bub, you need to pull your head out and look at some stuff. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will confront you that way. And say, your attitude is wrong. There's nothing like the Holy Spirit drawing you up short. When you're mad at your wife. I mean, she's just aggravating the gizzard out of me. And you know, I'm ready to just, I want a dough popper. You know, I'm thinking. And the Holy Spirit says, she's right, you're wrong. And I'm thinking, man. See, a friend will do that. A friend loves at all times. A true friend won't tell you what you want to hear. It'll tell you what you need to hear. So there's that aspect of Jesus. Jesus loved Israel. But he was tough on them. You know why he's tough on them? Because of their hypocrisy. And the Holy Spirit will confront your hypocrisy. Jesus Christ will confront your hypocrisy. The Holy Spirit will confront your sin. But he does it not to condemn you. He does it to love you and keep you in the scope of God's will for your life. He reveals Jesus to us. Now, does Jesus love us? Yes, he does. Does he love us unconditionally? Yes, he does. I say this all the time. The Lord loves you just like you are, but he loves you too much to leave you like you are. Because sometimes we're a mess. And sometimes we need our mess cleaned up. And that's one of the things that the Lord does. So the Holy Spirit will show us Jesus. It says in John chapter 15, verse 26. He said, when the advocate comes, which is the Holy Spirit, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. He is going to show us and reveal to us Jesus Christ. He's going to reveal his work. He's going to reveal all there is about Jesus, what his spirit is about, what his love is about. He's going to reveal those things to us. Now, the third thing that he will reveal to us is truth. You say, isn't the word truth? Yes, it is truth. But, you know, in some areas, the word is not specific. And sometimes I need wisdom. I need wisdom. And let me go ahead and give you a verse. John 16, verse 12. Jesus says, I have much to say to you, more than you can now bear. See, you can't bear everything that the Lord has to say to you. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. See, we don't know all truth. Now, the Bible is all true. But you know, it don't tell you who to marry in there. It don't tell you who to go into business with as a business partner. It don't tell you about who to make friends specifically. But here's another thing that the Holy Spirit will do. See, he will take the Word of God, which is truth. And in some instances, we call it general truth. He will bring a specific truth to you that is an illumination that's based on what's revealed in the Word of God. He will guide you into your relationships. He will guide you through the principles in partnership. He will give you the wisdom. See, the wisdom is the ability to use knowledge right. You can have knowledge without wisdom, but you cannot have wisdom without knowledge. And what he does is he takes the knowledge of the Word of God and gives you the specific wisdom that you need. See, there are times that you'll be trying to make a decision, and you'll be making it within yourself. You'll be making it. We're guided a whole lot by the five physical senses. I want that. In fact, I got to have it. And the Spirit of God says, no, wait. Or the Holy Spirit will say, no, steer away from that person. Steer away from that. Let me tell you a story. This is a good story. I love this story. My buddy Tom Underhill. This has been years and years ago. But one Thanksgiving, Tom is a roper. He pastors Russellville Christian Center, and he is a roper. He's won a lot of saddles and awards and belt buckles, and he's a team roper. And their family was getting together for Thanksgiving, and Tom has this little farm, and in it he has a roping arena. And after Thanksgiving dinner that day, the family was coming over, and they were going to practice their roping. He was getting ready that morning, and he said, something said to me, go diss the arena. Go diss the arena. Yeah, he said, yeah, I'll do that. Didn't do it. A little later, he heard it again. Go diss the arena. Go diss the arena. What? Now, would the Holy Spirit say something like that? He didn't do it. In fact, his son said later, as he was getting ready that morning, something said to him, go diss the arena. He didn't do it. After lunch that day, they go out, get ready to team rope. Tom gets on the horse. They let the steer go, and he ropes it, jumps off his horse, steps into a hardened hoof print, snaps his leg in two. Now, what was the Holy Spirit trying to do? He was trying to protect him. See, you know, some people say, well, you know, God broke his leg to teach him something. No, God didn't break his leg. He's trying to keep him from breaking his leg. Had to spend $10,000. Now, today it would have been a lot more than that. And this was back in the 80s or 90s. He spent $10,000 having his leg fixed. See, the Holy Spirit will give us the wisdom that we need if we'll listen. I've heard stories. I've never had this happen, but people driving down the highway and something says, pull over. They pull over. In a minute it says, now go. They go and they come up on a wreck. And if they hadn't pulled over, they'd have been there about that time. Will the Holy Spirit say things to us? Will he guide us into truth? Yes, there are truths of the Word of God that God wants to work in our lives. But listen, we have to learn to listen. We have to receive the guidance of the Holy Spirit. He'll guide you away from bad relationships. He'll guide you away from bad deals and bad partnerships. See, the Holy Spirit wants to be your best friend. And you don't always know what is true for your life. He'll guide you into God's purposes. He'll guide you into God's ways. That's one of the things that he does as a friend and a Lord in your life. So he'll guide you into truth. And then we notice that it also said in that verse that he will show us what is yet to come. See, I think that there is a sense in the body of Christ about the imminent coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that the Holy Spirit sometimes will prepare us for an event that's coming up. Maybe a death. Maybe someone in your life is going to pass away. And the Holy Spirit will prepare you for that event. He'll show you what's to come. You know, I know I lost my dad this last year. And I can think of a time in my life where if he would have passed because there were some unfinished issues in our family. And when I thought about him passing, because he was almost 83 when he passed away, almost 84 when he passed away. And you know, there were some things that needed to be said, some things that needed to be done. And I wasn't really prepared to deal with his death. But I kept having this sense on the inside of me that it was coming. And it did. But when it came, we had the opportunity to fix some things that needed to be fixed and say some things, you know, like, I love you, and you know, those kind of things that need to be done. And I just believe that it had to do with the grace of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. We didn't prevent his death, because we're all going to die. But I think the Holy Spirit prepared us for that. He, by showing us things to come. I didn't know what day he was going to go or anything like that, but I knew it was coming. And we were able to make some adjustments and do some things and get some things done. And I believe the Holy Spirit desires to do that in our lives if we'll learn to listen to what he has to say. Then the last thing is that he reveals to us the heart of Jesus. The Holy Spirit reveals the heart of Jesus. Now, what's the heart of Jesus? The Holy Spirit will show us how we need to treat people. He'll bring people across our path. And this is something that we're praying that the Holy Spirit's going to do, especially this next month, that he's going to bring people across your path. And you're going to be smart enough that you can see the purpose of God in them coming across your path. The Holy Spirit, if we'll just learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, he will bring people to us that we can speak life to. You might be a piece of the puzzle in their life. Just to say a word, just to do a kind act in somebody's life. You know, only eternity will reveal the heart of God when it comes to our lives. You were not saved just to exist. You were saved to bring glory to God. And God wants to take your life and use it as an instrument. And there'll be times that he'll use you and you'll never know you've been used. But there are times that he wants to strategically place you in a place that when you see a person, that the Holy Spirit quickens your heart and gives you something to say to that person. So he's going to reveal to you the heart of Jesus. Look at the way that Jesus ministered to people in the New Testament. He was always on cue. Well, he just knew that. No, 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 no. The Bible says that he emptied himself. He was not omniscient. He didn't have all knowledge. but he had the Spirit without measure. Jesus ministered by the power of the Holy Spirit. How could he be our example if he had all knowledge? That's how we can follow the Holy Spirit. See, we can follow the Holy Spirit. We can be point on if we'll learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, and we can make a difference in the lives of people. Let me tell you, God's not about politics. God's not about money. God's not about power. God is not even about task. He's about people. People come first to God. Now, all of those other things may be important, but they're down the line. And when the Holy Spirit starts revealing to you the heart of Jesus, you're going to see people in a new light. You're going to see opportunities in a new light. They may be a customer that comes into your office where you work. They may be somebody else that you meet at Walmart. I don't know. But listen, if we'll learn to develop a friendship with the Holy Spirit, you will be amazed at what he does. Look in the book of Acts. Peter and, John going to the temple? They're minding their own business, going to the temple, and there's a guy there begging alms. Peter, quickened by the Holy Spirit, says, "Look on us. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He revealed the heart of Jesus to that crippled man that day. And the Bible says that he received strength, and he went through that to that area walking and leaping and praising God. And it was by the work of two of his apostles that were just going to church, on their way to church. And all of a sudden, they were arrested by the Holy Spirit, who honed in on that man. Did it make a difference in his life? It made a difference in his life. We can do that. We have that ability through our relationship with the Holy Spirit to do that. I do hospice work. I had the opportunity last year. I went and visited this man. You know, you don't know where they are. You don't know what they struggle with. But this guy had had a moral failure and felt like that he was unworthy. At one time, he was seeking to go into ministry, but had a moral failure. And I don't know if the church had condemned him, put him down, or what. But he'd been away from God for years and years and years. As I began to talk to him, I felt helpless. I mean, he was weeks away from dying. And I felt helpless. Didn't know what to say. So just kind of on the inside of me, I think, "Holy Spirit, I need you big time right now." And I was able to say some things to him. He caused him to open up and share with me that very thing. And because of that, I was able to tell him what the Word said, that God still loved him no matter what he had done. And he was willing to receive him into fellowship with him. And I was able to pray with that man. And he came back into fellowship with the Lord before he died. I looked at him that day and I said, "Brother, you've made my day." He looked back at me and said, "You've made my life." You know what? That had nothing to do with me, because honestly, I didn't want to go. Those are not easy situations to go into. I mean, my flesh just drew back from going. I didn't want to go. I didn't know what to say. But thank God for the Holy Spirit that reveals to us the heart and the purpose of Jesus. We can be instruments. You don't have to be a preacher for that to happen. That can happen in you, in your everyday life, in your everyday walk with him. In fact, he wants to use you more than he wants to use the preachers. He does. You know why? Because there's more of you than there is of us. Our responsibility is to equip. Your responsibility is to be equipped and do the work of the ministry. It's out there. It's out there. "Oh, I can't do that." Really? Shut your mouth, open your ears, open your heart, and hear what the Holy Spirit says to you. You'll be surprised what can take place. You may make somebody's life. Amen. Let's pray. I'm going to ask my prayer team to come up. I always say this, and I always want there to be opportunity, because there are people that come to our church for a variety of reasons. You may be here today and not know that new life comes by the power of the Holy Spirit in receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We're not talking about a mental thing. We're talking about a heart thing, where you have opened your heart. You're sorry for your sin. You're willing for a change to take place in your life. And you're willing to say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. Cleanse me. Make me new. I believe in what you did on the cross. I believe that you were crucified for me. I believe that you were raised from the dead that I might be justified. You know what? If you'll do that, you can find new life. You can find real life and life abundantly. If you're here today, and I want to encourage you to come and let someone pray with you here. They'll lead you in that prayer and you can find new life. Maybe you've known the Lord and you're away from him. You've just grown distant in your heart, and you just need to repent and just drive a stake in the ground and say, from this day forward, I'm going to serve God. Maybe you've been hurt and you need healing. I pray that this message has been an encouragement to you today. And if you need healing, maybe that can begin right now if you'll come and pray. Or maybe you just need prayer for any other thing. We're open for any prayer need that's here today. So as I begin to pray, you respond and come. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid.